In hello, hello everyone. Happy Friday. This is Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host with me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen the Medium.
Stephen the Medium is in the house. And Stephen, it feels like we haven't been here for a long, long, long time.
Yep, because we haven't.
And that's because we haven't. And, you know, I hope I'm not too rusty at doing the show, but I'm so excited to be back and to be doing my show after taking at least 2 months off. We'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But there's so much going on. And before I go on, I also want to... let everyone know that we also have our producer, Mark, joining us. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Mark,
this is when you say hello. You
do, hello.
Unless you're rusty also. Mark hasn't done his show and my show for a long time. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. Back in the saddle here for you.
Back in the saddle, and we're in the saddle for each other because Mark has also been going on through some pretty difficult times as well. So, well, Mark, first and foremost, how's your mama doing?
Mama's doing pretty well. She will be having her surgery on July 18th at Beth Israel in Boston. To replace a valve, heart valve. And she's in good spirits. She really wants to get it over with.
Of course.
And they say afterwards that she should be pretty much back to where she was before as far as how she feels and energy, et cetera. So... That'll be a good thing. You know her. You can't keep her down.
That's right. That's right. She's amazing, and she's going to be fine. And we are going to ask our army of prayer people to pray for her and send all kinds of white light, white healing light, so that Miss Ellie will be completely okay. How about that, Stephen?
I love that. Miss Ellie's got a lot more to do here on this earth, so Miss Ellie's not going anywhere.
That is right. And with that said, Stephen, how are you? Because you've been in this incredible journey with me, but I know, you know, we're going to talk about what's been going on for both of us and in a few minutes, but I wanted to just check in. How are you? And talk about what you're up to professionally, because you do have a lot of stuff happening coming up in the next few days.
Well, this morning I got a haircut. I got a nice wash and set, so I'm all set there.
Oh,
feeling and looking very clean because I hadn't had my hair cut in a while, so that's all good. And professionally, tomorrow I am doing an event in Sterling, Mass., which is for the One Last Gift Foundation. It's a fundraiser, and this organization is pretty amazing because they help provide financial assistance to elderly as well as disabled people that can't afford funeral expenses. So it's such a great organization. So I'm really excited I'm doing that. That's 1:30 to 3:30 tomorrow, and that information's on my website. If I think there is... some tickets left. I know there's a lot of tickets that have been purchased. So that's really exciting. And June 4th, I'm doing an event at the Acushnet Dance Studio, which is, I've never been. It's going to be really exciting. So that's a max of 50 people. And last I heard, there were like 15 tickets left. And I'm not really sure if... of those 15, how many are left? But you can actually go to my website too and check that out. So that should be a lot of fun. And that there's a portion of that money that's going to go to the students of the dance studio for competitions and costumes. So that's really great. I'm very excited to get to give back.
And that's one of the things, of many things I love about you, that you really do pay it forward, Stephen. You are always open and willing to support, you know, great causes. And I'm sure they're very thankful for that, because something like this often generates a lot of donations and revenue for these nonprofits.
I love it. I do love it. And I also professionally, I finished my book. So the book is done, and I am shopping at this time for agents. That's what I'm doing.
And let me tell you, people, the book is amazing. I got an opportunity to read it, and it's just awesome. So you better stay tuned to get access to the book as soon as it gets published. But we're looking, you know, this is going to happen very soon, because your book is done and complete, right?
Well, the book's done, but, you know, getting an agent is not a fast process. And then if you are lucky enough and you get an agent, then there's a lot of time also, because there's potential modifications to the book that, you know, that the publisher may want. So there's still stuff going on. And there's also the opportunity, depending on what I decide, to self-publish too, so which I think would be faster. And so that really is the element for me. It's just it's getting the book out as quickly as possible. That's what I really want.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have, I believe you have an upcoming event in your office, or is that sold out? Because I'm not sure.
No, that's done.
Oh, that's done.
That's over, yes.
Oh, done and over with. There, yes. There we go. But I do know, hello, you are working on an event in New York City. You want to tell people about that?
You're telling everybody my secrets.
That's right, because there's a lot of people from New York City and the surrounding communities in the tri-state area that I know would love, love, love to come see you in New York City.
Yes, I am really excited about this. It's my first event in New York City, and it is at the Green Room 42. It's going to be July.
I mean, hold on. Pardon me. The Green Room. I mean, that is a pretty special venue. It's a venue that a lot of the rich and famous have been to. So
yeah.
Stephen the Medium, hello in the house.
Yeah. To be honest, Alex, that I didn't know that. I honestly did not know that. So when I started looking at venues and utilizing people that are in New York that can, you know, help me find venues, when I looked at this venue, I had no idea there was such a history of amazing artists that have been there. So that's pretty amazing. It really is.
I know, and you deserve nothing less. So the army of people that are in New York City or the surrounding areas, we are going to be looking to you guys to help us promote this amazing event coming up. So tell people when it is, by the way, because I interrupted you.
Well, that's the thing. Nothing is even out yet. It's not on my website. I just signed the contract, and it is July 30th. It's going to be. So nothing is advertised or anything like that. So just stay tuned for that to go on my website.
Well, I think this is amazing. You heard it here first.
Yes.
Coach Elix just gave you VIP access to Stephen the Medium in New York City. What else is going on with you, Stephen?
And there's going to be an early bird special on that, too, so that for the first 2 weeks when the tickets are available, they're going to be discounted if you purchase them then. So just keep that in mind.
There we go. Anything else happening with you? You have a book. You have incredible things happening, heading to New York City. We're heading to L.A.
Yes.
We're filming a new episode of, our... something upcoming, something happening. What else?
Yes. Motor mouth here just keeps going and going and going. So
I haven't done the show for a long time.
So I know.
I'm excited. But we are going to L.A.
We are going.
It's not a secret.
Well, no. And we're going to go spend some time in Palm Springs, which I cannot wait for.
Yeah, and it's going to be your birthday. So happy birthday to you.
We are arriving in Palm Springs. We're going to be in L.A. prior, but we're driving from L.A. to Palm Springs on my birthday. So, or is it? Yes, I think. Yeah. Yes, it is.
On your
birthday.
The 14th,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, like, you deserve nothing less.
Why?
And Palm Springs is absolutely gorgeous, and we're going to stay in an absolutely incredible, you know, place. So I cannot wait. I'm excited. You know, honestly, I feel like we need to get away because it's been a whole lot happening. And with that said, you know, as many of you know, the last couple of months have been very, very tough for myself and Stephen, my mom. You know, and I was very public about this. And we were on the show live many times, talking about her health situation, and she had a declining health, and it was sort of rapid. And my mom ended up passing on March 30th, and that was just it was an event that really will forever mark my life, and I know your life, Stephen, because you were a very important part of this entire process. So today, I really wanted to dedicate this hour to talk, to really just have a conversation about, you know, our journey over the last few months, and just really be vulnerable and really talk about what that was like, what we've learned from it, and perhaps people can see themselves in our journey, even if the specifics look somewhat different. What do you think, Stephen?
Yes, I'm really excited about the show, and if there are people listening that have been through a significant loss, that there were some kind of coping mechanisms or some advice that somebody can, you know, call in and give us, as well as anybody else who's listening, that would be great too.
That would be amazing, because we're still coping. You know, this is, you know, I'm not here to tell you how to manage anything. I'm in the process. I'm coping. And so, of course, I would love anyone that would want to give us advice, 508-222-1320. So here we go. So when we come back, we're going to have a conversation about what the past few months have been for us, what's happened, you know, between my family and Stephen and I. We're going to talk about personal changes that I've personally experienced and how I'm coping. And actually, I should say how we're coping with the loss, among many other things. So it will be open, vulnerable conversation that will be focused on self. So if this is something that calls to you, you better stay tuned. And I think it's time for a break. We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll just have an amazing conversation. We'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix. With me, my amazing co-host,
Stephen the Medium with a nice haircut.
Stephen the Medium with a nice haircut. And we are live today after taking the last couple of months plus off. Coping with the various events that we've been dealing with, including the health of my mom and the passing of my mom. So let me start by saying it was the beginning of February where I went to pick up my mom. My mom was 97 years old, and she's been doing incredibly well. And I picked her up in the morning, early in the morning. We came home. Everything was normal, nothing abnormal.
And you picked her up from your brothers?
I picked her up from my brothers. Stephen and I had gone away for the weekend. She went to Boston. And my mother was very active, traveling, and very independent. So I picked her up that morning. I came home. It was about, you know, almost 8:30, 9-ish. And I was heading out to see a client. So I just told her, I said, I'll see you later on. And that was business as usual for us. And she told me, she's like, I'm going to change and then have breakfast. And I turned around, and no sooner I turned around, I was heading up the stairs. I took two steps up the stairs, and I heard this big bang. And at first, I really couldn't. I thought maybe that was Stephen upstairs, but something made me turn around to just check on my mom. And when I turned around, went back into her apartment, I found her face down, unconscious, unresponsive on the floor. And that was a pretty traumatic event. I wasn't sure at the moment whether she was alive. I couldn't get her to respond. Eventually, I did. I had to call paramedics, call Stephen because he was in his office and couldn't hear what was going on. Bottom line is my mom suffered a bleed in the brain as a result of the fall. My mom also had AFib, so she was on blood thinners. And when you have a bleeding in your brain, you cannot be on blood thinners. So they had to stop that. And we knew that there was a risk associated with that. You know, blood thinners prevent strokes, but without, you know, with the blood thinners, she could also had bled to death. So the recommendation was to stop the blood thinners until the brain healed. She went to the hospital. Later on, she went to Spalding, and she did remarkably well. Stephen, didn't she?
Amazing.
I mean, that woman came back, and she was fighting like hell. And she came home. She was happy to be home. We went out to the chicken farm in Rhode Island, which is one of her favorite places. And, you know, and then my niece came over. Several weeks later, my cousin came over. And we had a busy weekend. And that Friday, and we're talking about, 2 weeks later, Stephen?
Yes.
We went out to dinner. My mom was very happy. My mom loved going out to dinner with us. And in the following Saturday, I got up, business as usual. I actually found her already in the kitchen eating breakfast. And I thought, wow, she's incredible. This woman is amazing. She never ceases to amaze me. And so I went upstairs, had breakfast, and a few minutes, about a half hour later, come down. And she's in the bedroom now. I'm talking to her. Everything's normal. No sooner I sit on the bed, I noticed that she was not speaking normal. And that was an immediate sign that she was having another stroke. Now, we already knew that was a possibility because she's not on the blood thinners. So, again, call paramedics. I caught it right early on time, but the difference this time is that she had to be transferred to Boston. And in Boston, at the Brigham and Women's in Boston, they did a procedure to remove the clot. And again, because she was not on blood thinners and they could not administer the medication that normally would be administered to somebody who's having a stroke, the only way that we could get her to survive this is by doing this procedure in Boston. They did it. And I mean, she recovered. I mean, everyone was shocked that a 97-year-old would do so, so well recovering from this procedure. Stephen, they said that she was the oldest woman, right, that had gone through this procedure in Boston?
The thrombectomy. Yeah, no one came even close to that age. And remember, they did the assessment when we were in Falmouth to even see, because on record, when you see it on paper, you look at it like there's no way a 97-year-old's going to pass the assessment to have this procedure done. And sure enough, with the telescreen, they pulled it up. The doctors interviewed her, told her to move things, and she was approved, and it was successful.
And So they decided, hey, she's ready to go to Spalding Rehab again. We brought her back to Sandwich, to the Spalding Rehab facility here and down in Cape Cod, for those of you who are not from the local area. And but this time the decline was more significant. Of course, this is a second stroke. She's also dealing with a bleeding in the brain. But she still did remarkably well in Spalding. And while in Spalding, she had another stroke. And this time it was pretty significant. And at that point, the doctor said, well, the protocol is we can take her to the hospital. That's the protocol. Or you can decide what you want. Now, luckily, my mom had been cognitive, you know, all this time. And while I was her proxy, she was still making decisions. So I, you know, I turned to my mom and I asked her, I said, what do you want to do? And, you know, honestly, and Stephen, you know this, she was tired. And she did not want to go back to a hospital. She did yeah. not want more procedures, more invasive procedures. So she said, I want to go home. So with Stephen's support, we decided home it is. And we brought her home with hospice care. And the wonderful thing about hospice is that it gives you an opportunity to have your loved one with you at all times. On the other side of that is that it gives you also a front seat of the decline in watching your loved one, you know, pass. And so it was, what, Stephen, 2 weeks later?
Yes.
I can't quite remember. 2 weeks later, you know, on a Thursday, I had a business meeting, and I was petrified that I would leave and she would die without me being home. So I begged her. I begged her, please, please, please don't go without me being with you. And, you know, so I came back. I told Stephen, do not call me. Don't tell me if anything happens. Just let me get back home. And I came home, and my brother and my sister-in-law were here covering. They left, and I sat next to my mom. I was holding her hands, and as I'm holding her hands, she passed. And she passed peacefully. It was perhaps one of the greatest gifts I've ever been given. You know, my heart has been broken ever since I saw my mom every day, and you know, she was an important part of our lives, and but it was just her and me. And then Stephen came down shortly, and I had to ask Stephen, you know, do you think she passed? Because, you know, I couldn't quite tell. And in that moment, it's just like something that's hard to sort of understand. And Stephen said she did. So that was again, you know, it's a moment I'll never forget, and but it's a blessing. Wouldn't you say that, Stephen?
You mean how everything sort of transpired? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course that every, as you mentioned, Elix, every you do get a front row to the decline. However, you also, morning, noon, night, anytime you want, you go downstairs to check on her, to see her, to see how things are going. And so, yes, it was a blessing, and it was a blessing for her because she got to come home.
She did. So, you know, so I wanted everyone, I wanted to share the story with you guys. You know, of course, I being with Stephen, understanding the magic of spirit and how somebody, when they move on, when they pass, of course, their spirit is right next to us and with us. And having said that, you know, the physical presence, it's also so important. And it's hard for us who are left behind to cope, to deal with the void that absence, that physical absence that it's not there. And, you know, for me and my mom, she lived with us. She was here. We saw her every day, multiple times a day. So that physical absence has been quite, you know, significant. And that is perhaps the hardest thing to cope with. And, you know, and I said to Stephen, you know, I feel like I know there is a light at the end of this tunnel, the grieving tunnel, I call it. I know there's a light for sure. But I also feel I'm just at the beginning of that tunnel. And I think it's important to embrace the tunnel, to embrace the journey, to embrace the process. Because that alone is a way to cope. It's a coping mechanism to deal with your grief. So we got to take another break, but when we come back, we're going to, you know, I want Stephen and I to talk about how do we cope, you know, with these sudden significant changes in our life. So let's take a break and we'll be right back. And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elex. We are live today, and with me, my wonderful co-host,
Stephen the Medium.
And today we are having a conversation about self and vulnerability in dealing with grief. And of course, Stephen, you know, change is inevitable. Change is the only permanent thing in our lives. But the question is, you know, when sudden, unexpected changes happen, are we ready? How can we get ready? How can one sufficiently prepare for these, you know, changes, whether it's a loss, whether it's, pain that, you know, that comes from the loss? How does one move on and keep pushing despite, you know, the grief, despite the loss, despite the unknown? Now, Stephen, I have a question for you, but I do understand that we do have a call. So let's take the caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Alex, it's Salissa. It's Salissa.
Salissa, thank you for calling, Salissa.
You're welcome. And I'm so sorry for the loss of your mom. I felt I was hurting along with you.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know what, Salissa? Thank you for your emails, for your texts, and for checking in, because you did every day. By the way, Salissa is, you know, somebody who follows Stephen the Medium and Steelix, and we couldn't be thankful enough, Salissa, you know, for you being so kind and so generous with us.
Oh, you're so sweet. You both have a special place in my heart. You really do.
Well, you solicited Stephen, you do for us also, because you don't find as many people as compassionate. You know, there's a lot of compassionate people, but for someone, you know, for us to meet, thankfully we got to meet in person, the three of us, and to sort of have that connection right away, and just to, for us to feel that compassion and kindness from you is something that you don't get a lot. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. That means a lot to me. It was the best thing meeting you. I wanted to add to your show, because you were talking about how to deal with grief. And
yes,
as everybody knows, it's different for every single person. But what I can share is in June, it'll be 2 years since losing my dad, and it's the most painful thing that's ever happened in my whole life. What got me, well, the best thing to get me through was talking to people I loved. That's what got me through. Talking to my sister, talking to my husband, other people, it helped, but it really helped to talk to my family. Because they, you know, to find out what they were going through, and it just felt better somehow. And it's so true what they say about first you cry, which I did a lot of. And then you start smiling, and I never thought I could again. It still hurts, of course, but I'd smile at the memories we bring up and the many, many signs my dad sent to my sister and I, and that's made me smile. But that's really how to get through it, is to talk to people and get you through.
And I so agree with you. And honestly, you know, I would tell Stephen, especially at the very beginning, that I wanted to be open. I wanted to be transparent. I wanted to tell people how I felt, because every time I did that, I would hear so many people like yourself reaching out and wanting to talk to me. So you're absolutely right. Talking to people, talking to others makes a big difference. It has made a big difference for me. What do you think, Stephen?
I completely agree, Celissa. And the opportunity that we get to speak to you, and the time that you took or put aside to call is just so wonderful, Celissa. Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you guys, and my heart's with you.
Thank you, Celissa. Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome, Stephen.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. So, Stephen, you know, one of the things, of course, I with mom passing and with me being so in it, I don't think I've asked you enough, how are you coping? How are you dealing with, you knew my mom, so you dealing with her loss, but you're also dealing with watching me, the person that you love most, going through that process. How has that been for you, and how do you cope?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I mean, I didn't just know your mother. I've been around for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So I've been part of, you know, Consuelo's life for 30 years. And the past, what, 7, 6 years, whatever it was, that she's been living with us in the old house and this house. And in both houses, in the same house, right? In this one, the current one, in the in-law apartment. So, you know, what I do as a medium and to help me is stuff like I did yesterday, Elix, when you texted me, or 2 days ago, where are you? You were on a call, came downstairs in the house, and I was nowhere to be found. And I was outside in the woods at the cranberry bog meditating. That's what I do. And sometimes I even do a walking meditation, whereas my eyes are open. I'm feeling the nature. I'm feeling the grounding. I'm just letting me be part of that. That's the biggest coping mechanism when I see what you're going through and what this has done to you. And you know, when you realize that physically there's not anything else I can do for you that I already do, with just telling how much I love you, being there for you, hugging you, just supporting as much as I can, and trying to give the perspective, and a perspective that you're very clear on because you've been around me for so long, the spirit perspective. But besides the physical thing, the meditation and just sort of acknowledging when I'm in nature too, what is going on, and acknowledging, I mean, I know it sounds weird, but acknowledging and being aware of who I am, because if I feel strong about myself, then I'm going to be feeling strong about you and this situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And Stephen, you know, again, a lot of people also come to you as a medium to seek guidance, to seek advice when they're dealing, coping with grief as well. What are some of the messages that you get to give to others from their loved ones? Because their loved ones' spirit has a very different perspective, right? On the situation. What are some of the messages that you passed along to people to help them embrace the grief?
Well, you know, if I have the opportunity in a reading to do this, one of the things I will always start with, and I'll say this to you, Elix, is that first and foremost, you have to, and I think you already mentioned this, you have to go head on into this grieving process, because even though spirit, you know, when we cross over and we're in spirit and we're still here, that still does not take away from the person losing the physical aspect of the person they love. That is so hard. It's so difficult. And why that's so hard is because, you know, and when I teach my courses, one of my courses, you know, I talk about connecting to spirit in that you've got to start with the five senses. You've got to strengthen the five senses because it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then that's why it's called the sixth sense, right? The sixth sense is supported by the five senses. So you've got to get them really, really strong. And alternatively, when you lose somebody in the physical world, you're experiencing it through your senses. You can't see them anymore. You can't hear them anymore. You can't smell them anymore. You can't touch them anymore. You can't sense them anymore. So on the other side of that, that's why your heart feels completely crushed. One piece of advice I will say that it ties into what you said, Elix, about I know that there's going to be a white light sometime that I will see, you know, as you go through this process, which is true. But one thing that spirit tells me all the time is that from their perspective, the white light that you referenced is daily, because I hear spirit all the time. If someone says that I can't get through each day, I can't, you know, I'm looking to get out of this grief, and spirit will say to me, every single night when you lay your head on the bed, it's like you reached that light. You made it. You did it. And that's such an accomplishment. So even though we think, oh my God, that light is going to be there, but it's so far away, spirit reminds me all the time, and I remind people I'm reading, that white light is every single day, every single second, every single minute. You're getting through this, no matter how you're getting through it. And sometimes it's painful, beyond painful, but you're getting through it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so such a wonderful feedback for people. You know, Stephen, the other thing for me is I remember, like, when my mom was very sick, and you were able to see it, you know, in a clear way, where I was so in it. I was so in I was so lost, for lack of a better words, in the, oh my God, I can't lose my mom, that I was holding on. It was almost like I was trying to hold on to her, right?
Right.
When she, you know, she was ready to go, but I was holding on. I didn't want my mom, you know, to die. I wanted my mom here. But in retrospect, now that she's passed and now that I get to sort of go back, I'm have all these realizations that, you know, my mom was never the same after, you know, that second stroke. Living would have never been the same for her, and she would have never would have wanted to be here, you know, not being the vibrant self that she always was. You get what I'm saying, Steve?
Yes, of course.
You know, and I remember you sort of like nudging me and shaking me and saying, hey, you know, you got to tell her it's okay. You got to tell her it's okay. But I didn't want to do that because I was holding on. And I was holding on, you know, perhaps because I was so scared of what that would look like, of not having my mom here with me. You know, and I guess that is all part of that process, would you say?
Yeah, it is all that process. And you know what, Elix? When you're in it, as you just mentioned, I think there should be no judgment from anybody. Like, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? It's just, it's when you're in it, it's a whole different world, and it's completely understandable why you didn't want to have her leave. I completely understand and completely get it. But for every person's different, and it's you know, it's very simple to say, oh my God, why are they doing this? Why are they keeping her on this life support or blah blah blah? Listen, you may have your opinion, but unless you're in it, it's not something that is easily should be judged.
I love that. Stephen, we have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue the conversation. We'll be right back. And hello, and welcome back to Get a Grip with Coach Elix. I'm your host, Coach Elix, and with me, my wonderful co-host,
Stephen Frederick Masick, the medium.
Stephen, the medium. And how appropriate, because today we're having a conversation about self and vulnerability. And I've been sharing how I cope with the loss of my mom, my mom's illness, and ultimately, you know, her passing, and, you know, how I've been coping with that and how Stephen has been coping with it, because, you know, he's you know, my mom was a very important part of your life as well. And, you know, not only are you, you know, grieving her, but you're also grieving my loss as well as your husband. Stephen, one of the, and it goes back to what Salissa says, speaking to people makes a big difference. And it's very helpful, simply because it puts you in a place of simply embracing grief, embracing however it is that you feel. And I remember this one conversation in particular of somebody who lost a mom, and actually lost a mom by suicide. So under very, very different circumstances. In her, what she said to me was so, I don't know, Stephen.
Like powerful.
It was powerful. It was like, it took me off guard, because she said, you know, first of all, you know, she reminded me that not all losses are the same, and that, you know, there are losses that are may be more impactful to the surviving person than others. You know, but that's not to minimize. But what she said to me is, give yourself some grace. And that to me was almost like a defining moment in my grief, to give myself grace. In other words, just allow myself to grieve. Allow myself to be. You know, I've heard people say to others, oh, you shouldn't be crying. You know, don't cry. You should be, you know, celebrating her life. Well, there's a way, I believe there's a way that you can celebrate someone's life and also cry. You know, because sometimes those tears are necessary. And one of the things that you did for me, Stephen, is you allowed me the space to do whatever it was I needed to do. And I have to say, Stephen, that was, you know, so, so very helpful for me. Because if I didn't have that space, I think I would have felt constrained. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, of course I do. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, for everybody is different, but what you just said, Elix, is that you've got to, as hard as it is, you have to play the game of grief. You have to go through it, and it's going to hit different individuals different ways. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, and if you have a family member, a loved one, a friend that has lost through a loss recently, don't give them advice. Don't tell them how they should be feeling. Just give them, create an opening for them to feel whatever it is they feel, and have them be okay with that. Whatever that is, have them be okay with that. Stephen, what else would you advise somebody they could do to cope with grieving?
Well, I'll tell you, Elix, I love that you just asked me that, because I referenced already about the five senses. And one of the things that, whether it's good intentions, and I'm sure it is, if you have somebody who is dealing with loss, and if you have their phone number, pick the damn phone up and call them. and not text somebody. It is, if you have access, and listen, because we're both on social media, we have these wonderful, like Salissa again, have these wonderful people that we've got to meet, sometimes not even physically, but via social media. The comments were, the outpouring was like just crazy. It was beautiful. It was absolutely amazing. But if you're in a predicament or a situation that you have the person's phone number, even if you don't get them, pick the phone up and call. Because like Salissa said about reaching out to people, the person on the receiving end, even if it's not live and hears that message, you know, blah, 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 whatever the name is, I'm so sorry, please give me a call, I'm here to talk. That does so much than a damn text. A text. It's just please, just for advice, if you have the phone number, do not ever feel like I'm not going to bother them. Just pick the phone up and call. Even if you may be wrong in somebody, which I'm sure it's going to be a minority, like, you know, this is too soon, or it doesn't matter. Just calling, that message will eventually be so received so positively and well. It will just do wonders.
Yeah, and it's okay if, you know, you can allow the person to tell you whatever they tell you. And if they say, listen, I'm not up to talking, it's too soon, you can then say, okay, it's okay.
Yes.
You know, it's okay. You know, I just wanted for you to know that I'm here, that I love you, that I'm thinking of you, that I'm sending you light, that whatever that is. And, Stephen, you know, I will say, that's one of the things that made the biggest difference for me. First of all, my mom is from Puerto Rico. I thought we had a wake here in Rhode Island. Our friend, Stephen's best friend for years, Paul J. Martin, has an amazing funeral home, Perry McStay. And
a big shout out to him, Elix.
And big shout out. He did, oh my God, did he do an amazing job. My mom looked incredible. But what I was going to say was that I was floored at the number of people who came to simply showed up because they wanted me to know that they were with me. I was shocked. I mean, of course, there's people that you expect because they're your friends and you see them. But Stephen, my clients or somebody that I haven't seen in years and years and years, and she showed up. And she showed up because she felt that she wanted me to know that I was important to her. That was yeah. Number one. That was incredible. And, you know, to Stephen's point, yeah, listen, I know we have many fans who follow us. You don't have our number, but people send cards. People, I was overwhelmed by the amount of people who reached out in whatever way, on Facebook, on Instagram. We got hundreds and hundreds of messages from people, and all of that made the biggest difference in the world for me. And I tell you, it gave me a whole new perspective, because there are people that I thought for sure would be there and they weren't. Yet there are people that I thought, well, they're just clients, or they're just, you know, acquaintances, or they followed us, but they're not that vested. You know, oh no, they were. They were there. They were so supportive and so giving. And I'm telling you, this is a big shout out to all of you. You know who you are, whomever you are, that you really displayed that level of care and empathy for both Stephen and I. I am forever grateful, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, like what you're saying, what Salissa said, it is the human touch. That's what this is all about. So, you know, picking the phone up and calling and leaving a message or getting the person is better than sending a present. If you have the opportunity or the ability to actually voice to voice and listen to it, it's so, so important and so helpful for the person who's going through this process.
I so agree with you, Stephen. But you know what? We've reached the top of the hour. I can't believe this hour has gone by so, so very fast. But next week, we're going to have a follow-up conversation because I want to talk about other significant events, traumatic events that, you know, can lead to people also coping with a different kind of grief. So, Stephen, how can people connect with you?
Stephen the Medium. Across the board, website, social media, Stephen the Medium. And make sure if you're not on my mailing list to get on my mailing list, you can do that. I think you could actually even do that through Linktree. I can't remember, but in any case, you can just go to my website and just add your email to my mailing list. And then everything that's happening, you will be the first to know.
Fabulous. And you can find me at Coach Helix. So if you're not following either one of us, get, you know, your act together and follow us. And Mark, thank you for being back, for doing everything that you could to produce my show, and to the staff at the station, all of you, thank you. Jim, the GM, for, oh my God, being so generous with allowing me the time to step away in grief. I am forever grateful. Anything else, Stephen, for today?
I hope everybody has a great weekend.
Thank you, guys, and have a marvelous weekend, and we'll see you again next week.
Marvelous.
Marvelous. Bye, everyone.